We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
It is Pastor Appreciation Sunday, and I'm thankful that you want to appreciate us, and we're appreciative and thankful for all of those that you see us, but you don't see the layers of people holding us up, holding our arms up and supporting us. And so this church wouldn't work if it was just Julie and I. So thankful for all the people that are helping make this happen, because it's about the next one. Say the next one. It's about the next person that walks through the doors, because I'm so thankful to already know Jesus. I'm so thankful that God is already working on my heart. I'm thankful that I have his word and that it's going to continue to be the light to my feet and the lamp to my path, yeah? But what about the next person that doesn't yet know Jesus? Sorry, it's an earring thing. When's the last time your pastor said that? It is what it is. I want to thank everybody if you're streaming today. Welcome to Metro Church. Today I want to talk to you about something that has really been on my mind. And I think it's important for us to be mindful of it. I was thinking about a scripture recently, and we'll get into it. But 12,788 is the number. 12,000, not the lottery number. 12,788 is the number, and I'm going to get into it. See, I remember growing up, I thought I'd live forever. I remember being, how many are thankful that I'm still alive and that you're alive and that we're here to talk about it? But I remember being a second grader dreaming about the day I'd become a high schooler. At that time, it seemed like it was forever away. When I got to high school, I thought, man, I wonder what it's going to be like to start a family, to have a wife and to start a family, but that seemed like forever away. And the day I was married, I never imagined it would be so quick before I was then seeing my kids get on the bus. And so it started from this picture right here. It's coming. Me and some of the gang, Chris Geary and Janine down there, and we're still serving in the house of God since they were helping me open the presents. But it was like this. I remember going from that to this. And I thought, when did that happen? I remember feeling like I will never be a high schooler. It's going to take forever to have keys and be able to leave when I want and have my own car. And now I'm thinking about what it's going to be like having to eventually hand keys to my own kid as they leave the driveway. What happened? Well, we know what happened, but how did it happen and why did it happen so quickly? I feel like it was just yesterday I was running around Jarek's school shooting hoops with my friends, and then literally just yesterday almost I was shooting hoops with my kid at Jarek's school thinking, wow, we've gone full circle. You know, all this made me think of this scripture that it says in Psalms 90. It says, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach me, Lord, to number my days. And when I read this scripture, it made me wonder how many days I've lived on this earth. 12,788 days today. And for every other person that was born on October 25th, 1983, they have the same exact amount of days as I have. And for those wondering, that does include leap years. Not because I'm brilliant, because there's an app for that. There's a website. It's actually kind of cool. But the point is, I was surprised because I thought, man, that doesn't seem like a lot of days. But then I thought, that is a lot more days than some of my friends that didn't make it out of high school. That is a lot more days than some of those that ended up having a life end so tragically, so quickly. And it's easy to get focused on a day in, day out grind of life, so focused that we forget the season we're in, we forget to even enjoy the moments and thank God for the journey. But when I read this scripture, it made me think, God, I don't want to overlook a day. I want to be mindful of the time I have. I want to be mindful of the journey that you've given me. So how, Lord, can I teach myself to focus more on the days I have, not on the day I'm having? Church, if we could be more mindful, I'm pretty sure we'd be more appreciative. If we were more appreciative, we'd live a life that was more thankful. And can I tell you, thankfulness attracts a better life. Thankfulness attracts something. When somebody shows themselves to be thankful to God, God tends to multiply in that life. And one of the things, when we choose to be thankful to our own parents, the Bible says that he multiplies our years on the earth. It says, respect your parents. Why? You'll live a long life. So when I read that when I was young, I thought it was just because your parents wouldn't kill you. But then I realized, actually, you attract and you multiply with thankfulness. But I want to learn to be more mindful of the things God has already given me rather than being on the grind for the thing I think is going to fulfill me. I'd rather live a life that is thankful and have it attract the things God has intended for my life rather than make my life about trying to get something I think is going to fulfill me. Lord, let me be more mindful. And as I thought about this, it brings me obviously to point number one. Number one, we have to learn to number our days. We have to learn to number our days. It says in that scripture, teach us to number our days. Well, how do you do that? And why would you do that? Because it gives you a heart of wisdom, first of all. But second of all, if I can choose to number my days, I won't waste today. There are a lot of people that, when I looked at that number, 12,788, I thought, what have I done with that time? See, an age isn't a thing, it's just a number. And some people say, man, I'm getting old, or man, I can't believe I'm already this age, or it's not about the number, it's about what you've done with the number. I was talking with a pastor on the West Coast, trying to help him through his team losing right now. How many know it's hard to be helped by the guy who's winning? Just saying. So, and he's like, oh, my birthday just happened 2 days ago, and I officially hit the big 3-5, and some people go, oh, that's not bad, and other people go, wow, you are officially checking a different box on all those questionnaires. I just don't do the questionnaires anymore. That's how you fix that. But the point was, as I got there, he said, oh man, I'm 49 or whatever. And I just told him, I said, it's not about the number, it's about what you've done with the number. At 49, he's got beautiful children. He's got a thriving church. He's got grandkids on the way. It's like, dude, you're doing good. You're doing great. And so I want us to think not about the number, but about what we've done with our number. Teach me to number my days, Father, not just so that I would know how many I've lived, but that I would consider how I've lived with the time you've given me. I want to be mindful. I want to be a good steward of what you've given me. I want to make sure the things that you've given me, I didn't waste. The talents that you gave me, I didn't bury. I know that you are a good father, that you're a good master, but when you come back, you are expecting a return. So what have I done to create a return on this life? And the cop-out can't be, well, I had kids and they'll do what I couldn't do. Number one, God, teach me. I need to learn to number my days. It's so easy to overlook the blessing that we have in our daily life. But when we begin to focus on how quick life flies by, it helps us keep a healthy perspective of the highs and the lows of life. Because how many know in one day your whole perspective can change if you don't have an anchor point? You can be on such a high from something that just happened, and then you go to something else the next day, and all of a sudden you feel like the floor just fell out from underneath you, and you're on this deep fall, and you don't know how you're ever going to recover. But yet you have another day to recover. Yet God gave you another day to breathe and another day to trust in him and rely on him. How is our thought life? How is our perspective? I was watching football, as I usually do, and there was this special with a quarterback recently. And it started by showing this big vase full of stones. And I think, I want to say the it was Kirk Cousins or some quarterback, maybe from Minnesota. But he had this vase full of stones. And his, you know, when you're walking up to his front door and they were like, hey, what is this about? And I thought, okay, this is weird. Why would you even talk about somebody's random decor items? Like, all right, this better be good. Otherwise, that person's fired, whoever planned this special. Because this is right before, I think, Sunday or Monday Night Football. Like, this better be good, you know? And so as I'm watching this, he said, you know, and then he actually started to preach on national television. He said, you know, I started to think about how short our life is. Started to think about how uncertain another day is. And then he actually spoke about this scripture. He said, the Bible says, teach me to number my days. And so my wife and I, we got optimistic. And we started to say, what if we could live to 90? That would be a good life. And he said, well, based on how old I am today, based on how many more, you know, days I have to live until 90, if one stone represented a month, he said, I had 720 months left to live. He said, and so now, the first of every month, when I walk in the house, I take out another stone and I put it next to my bed. He said, and I get rid of the other stone because I'll never get that back. He said, and so every morning I wake up and I see this new stone that looks different, and I remember that this month I'll never get back. What am I going to do this month for others? What am I going to do this month to actually show God I'm thankful that he gave me another day and another month? And I thought, that is a powerful thought. What if we were that mindful about the time God gave us? What if we thanked him for the day, not just in a habit or a pattern, God, thank you for this day, thank you for this food, blah, 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 however you go through routine. But if we actually have this heart and this mindfulness of saying, God, man, I know I'm not guaranteed anything, but I want to thank you for today. I want to live today like I'm thanking you for today. When I struggle with a decision, I need to remember this is the day that you made. And rather than doing that, I'm going to rejoice in it by being faithful and obedient to you. Help me to stay focused on the brevity of life. And look, although I know that I'm protected and that I'm secure all the days that God has given me, you know, as a young person, I had this thought, God, I'm immortal. And I don't even have to worry about mortality. For every day you've given me, I'm immortal and I'm good to go and I'm completely secure. And then I realized, but I don't know what day is the day that he stopped giving me. I was like, whoa, wow, okay. All right, God, so, but this thought that, look, I understand that I'm safe and I'm secure and I'm in your hands, but I also don't know when my clock is going to expire. Number two, if we're going to learn how to number our days, then number two, choose to appreciate this day. Regardless of what it brings. This is a big thing. You know, I know that you see the statistics and you hear all the chatterbox and the talking heads and all of the very smart people that explain how much more stressed out this generation is. And, you know, my phone now tells me how long the screen was turned on. So I know how much screen time I have and how much I've used. And that's pretty depressing, but I remind myself I work off of my phone. Or if you stream the World Series on your phone, that's a long time when it's 18 innings. Anyone else still recovering from that, by the way? Is anyone else crazy enough to stay up all night and watch us lose at 3:30 in the morning? We're going to have a special prayer group later next to my espresso machine. But listen, I have to choose to appreciate this day regardless of how the world, you know, how much I, we'll put it this way, I've got to control how much the world affects me so that I can truly appreciate this day. You know, there's sometimes I choose not to go on social media because I'm having a good day. And I keep having a good day because I chose not to go on social media. It's crazy. But this understanding of, Lord, I understand. It says in Psalms 118:24, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And so when was the last time you rejoiced with the day that you had? When is the last time you thought about, because you go, Chad, we're saying a lot of the same things over and over again. Yeah, but we're really bad at it. We think we're good at things. I mean, have you ever seen a kid that just learned how to walk? They think they're a pro. And they look like a little drunk midget. But they're not falling, so they think they're a pro. And so if you have a little bit of thankfulness, you're kind of the drunk midget. That'll be a good clip. Maybe not tweetable. Let's not do that. But we have to be better at appreciating what we have. And you only do that by magnifying what you have and by getting away from the things that nag you. Or fixing it if it's your spouse. There's only a few people that are even going to laugh at that because they're sitting next to their spouse. But I was... My family and I, we just went and picked up pumpkins because, you know, the ritual of stabbing and goring pumpkins is something that our family, like yours, probably does. And, you know, so I just noticed I walked off camera. That was very confusing. But so as I was there, we went to one of our local spots, and I'm talking to the business owner, and we've started to build a rapport. It's something interesting. If you actually want to build a rapport with someone, you actually want to create a relationship, go to the same places a lot. Yeah. And actually be nice. Like, I'm here. No, so we go to this place and we start talking, and I find out that this man just went through open heart surgery. And I'm like, when was that? And he says, last week. And I'm like, what are you doing back at work? You know, and I'm talking with him, and he kind of made this comment about, yeah, I'll be around a bit longer. And I was sitting here thinking, thank God for technology. But we don't know how long that's going to last. We don't know how long that little patch is going to work. I'm sitting here thinking, this man, I may be talking to him today, and he may not be here tomorrow. And so I'll tell you, when you start to realize people may not be here tomorrow, you get a little bit more bold. And you don't mind talking about God because you're hoping they know God, or that you hope they want to know God, because it changes a lot. And so, you know, I think about, if I only have one more day, what is this day going to be? Is it going to be for me or for you? Am I going to live a life that was about me? Am I going to be able to finally grasp my hands around that toy that is going to be buried with me? Or am I going to embrace the call, this eternal call to actually make a difference in the world for when the world ends? People go, Chad, that is way too deep for me. I did not have coffee today. Well, coffee up and understand that God's calling on our life was not about you being an engineer. It was not about you being a professional student. You ever meet the people that just keep going back to school because they still don't know what they want to do? I call that professional student. Sorry. But it's not about that. It's not just about the thing you do. Yeah, that is to help you, carry you through the purpose God called you for. But the purpose is so much bigger than what you are doing. The purpose is about what was already done in us magnifying the Son. Okay. Two, we have to choose to appreciate this day. Number three, we have to decide to seize today. Appreciating it and actually seizing the moment are two different things. You know, have you ever walked away from somebody and realized that you walked away from an open door where you could have talked about God, but you chickened out? Then you go home feeling like there was a big L on the scoreboard, and you just kind of like, man, God, I messed that one up. Well, what are you going to do about it? Yeah, but the way I forgive myself is going back and doing what I knew I was supposed to do. God, if you put me on this earth, look, I know you put me on this earth to bless me. I know you put me on this earth because you love me. But if you put me on this earth for 10 people, I want to make sure I affect those 10 people. Because I realize my life isn't my own. It's here to be an influence and a light for you. And the minute I said yes to you, I said no to a lot of things. And so I've got to make a decision. If I'm going to be mindful about my days, I better seize this day. It's so easy on a Sunday like this to go home, turn on the TV, take a nap. Amen, anybody? Jesus took naps. Jesus took naps. Be more like Jesus. But still, what can we do today? Look, I'm thankful that I'm in the house of God. I'm thankful that I had the ability to worship God. I'm thankful for the moments that are coming here and there. But when we leave here, we still have an opportunity to seize the day. We still have an opportunity to actually make a difference, to show love today, to forgive someone today. People holding on to bitterness for decades, forgive them today. Release yourself from the noose that you've tied around your neck. Spit out the poison you keep sipping on thinking it's going to kill them. Choose today to seize the moment, understanding, God, I may not have tomorrow. Let me get my things in order. Choose today to say what you mean and mean what you say. Choose today to learn to let go and to be free. Why would you put it off any longer? You know, this there's this thing that has become very trendy through the years, just this saying, no regrets. But yet people live with a lot of regrets. They have it tattooed on their arms. They have it tattooed spelled wrong, no rugrats. They've got they've got all sorts of regrets. Not finishing school was probably one of them in the moment. But the reality is this. I've got to seize today. I've got to choose to live a life that I won't regret tomorrow. And so when most people hear a message like this or a thought about, look, you may not have tomorrow, they want to live it up in such a way that they have no regrets of not experiencing things. Lord, I don't want to live a life that negates me from experiencing your best, which isn't even on this earth. Anything this earth has to offer would never, ever compare to what you're building me, to what you've already said is mine. I'm going to choose to live a life that keeps my name in the book. I don't know what you believe, but I'll tell you, the Bible makes it very clear that we've got to make a daily decision to die to ourselves and live for Christ. You know, I talk to some people and they say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. And I'm like, whoa, that surprises me. Not because I'm here to judge, but based on where I met you and the things that were going on. And I just look at it and I go, wow, look, I'm not here to judge. And they say, oh yeah, I said the prayer. It's like, yeah, but Jesus didn't say the prayer and then choose to live like hell. He showed us how to live so that we could live for heaven. And so I want to live a life for heaven's sake. Choose no regrets today. It says Deuteronomy 30, 15. See, I set before you life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. And then you will live and increase. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, by the way, other gods can look like Sunday morning football. It can look like all these things that you decide to steal God's tithe and pay for. It can look like that boat that you thank God for, but you stole from him to buy it. It can look like all sorts of things because idols have all different shapes. When you choose to worship something over God, that's what it's talking about. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, like relationships, like the woman you just don't want to let go of, so you change for them, or like the man that you're hoping will ask you the question, so you start to change for them. Okay, I'm going to keep moving. I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. I don't like that part, but it's in the word, so I'll read it. Listen, we've got to choose to make good decisions today. I just finished, I don't know if you remember, but I finished a series a while back called Momentum. And I just talked about it in a dance school in Buenos Aires this past week about how creating positive momentum in your life is making the right decision in the moment, and then in the next moment, and then in the next moment, and you string them together and it creates momentum for your life. If you look at it like that and you isolate it on one decision, certainly you can make one good decision. You can, can't you? But when we start to string those decisions together, all of a sudden we're making good choices and we have a life that shows it, and it actually magnifies the Father, and we start to fulfill a purpose that's beyond here and now. Chad, my decisions don't affect how people see God. Yes, they do! Sorry. We got to live in our God moments. We have to understand that every breath is a gift and that we have to treat it like that. And today is the best gift you've ever been given. James 4, 13 through 14 says this, "Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this place and to this city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." Proverbs 27, 1, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring." Isn't that true? All it takes is for a day to be humbled. All it takes is for a day for everything to change. And so rather than, and I'm not saying don't have plans. You know, I've always been told, you know, plan that you'll live forever, but live like you'll die today. Just a thought. But we can't just say, I'll get it. You know how many people I talk to about Jesus and they say, yeah, I'll probably get that right before I die. I was like, well, can you tell me what app you have that tells you what day you're going to die? Because the reality is if it's important enough for you to want to fix it someday, today is a good day. Someday I'll kick that habit. Well, today is a good day. Someday I'll make things right with my spouse. Well, today is a good day. Someday I'll fix. Hello? Don't live thinking about your tomorrows because you don't understand what your tomorrow is going to be. Don't bank on them. Number four, always consider my last day. If I'm going to learn to count my days, if I'm going to learn to number my days, then I have to remember my last day. I don't know what day it's going to look like. Does anyone else want to go in their sleep? That just seems peaceful. Is anyone else banking on the fact that you're not going to die because Jesus is going to come back before then? That doesn't sound bad either, right? Like, God, I could be the generation that doesn't die. Like, come on. But always consider my last day. It says this in Ecclesiastes verse 7. It says, "A good reputation is more valuable than costly perfume, and the day you die is better than the day you were born. Better to spend your time at funerals than at parties. After all, everyone dies. So the living should take this to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for sadness has a refining influence on us. A wise person thinks a lot about death, while a fool thinks only about having a good time." Well, that doesn't sound like an awesome passage. Chad, I like the part where you say, like, heaven is partying right now because I'm about party life. Yeah, but the fact is when things are going good, and this is why the Bible says it's very hard for a rich man to find heaven. Because when you kind of create, and that does not say I have any problem with riches. I think God can bless us. I think we are supposed to be able to be a blessing. You can't be a blessing if you have nothing. But the Bible talks about how hard it is for the rich man to find heaven because he has become his own God. He can fix his own problem. A little bit of this, a little bit of rain, he'll make it rain. Everything's fine. I don't need God because I can make myself. Do you understand? It's good for us to consider the fact that we aren't going to live forever here. It's good for us. You know, I've talked to a lot of people after funerals and after wakes that come up and they thank me for the job I did and they have a question about this or about that. And no one is more ready to hear about God than in the moment they lost somebody and they're wondering what happens. The scripture is saying it's better for us to consider the hereafter before we're after. I always want to consider my last day. I'm not like being morbid about it. I'm not like wondering how I'm going to go. That stuff will just make you all weird. Like, you know what I mean? Thankful it's probably not going to be a zombie apocalypse. I don't think it'll be that. but what I do know is that someday if Jesus doesn't come back, I'm going to die. And will I be prepared? That's between me and God. It says this in Psalms 90, 4 through 6. It says, 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by. Or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death, and they are like new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered. That's why I can have this moment where I go, man, I feel like I was just opening gifts at that birthday party, and now I'm watching my kids open gifts at their birthday parties. And I go, man, what happened to the time? It's like a blip on the radar, our life. But we have the ability to allow our legacy to echo. Men, I was really disappointed that we had to cancel last night's men versus. We're going to do it next Saturday, but I've got a word on my heart for the men in this house. And one of the things that just blows my mind is how quick good things can come to ruin if you don't prepare for the next generation. I think about Gideon and all the victories that he won, and we're going to be digging into his life next Saturday. But the reality was, it says, as soon as Gideon died, they turned back to Baal. You may think you're doing well, but what are we doing preparing the next generation? I have today to work on my children's understanding of who God is. I have today to show them the love of Christ. I have today to walk them through hard topics because I may not be here tomorrow. I've got to choose to seize this day and remember today could be my last day. Number five, as I wrap up here today. Again, number five, remember it could be today. Always consider my last day, but remember it could be today. Not even because today could be the day I die, but today could be the day Jesus comes back. The Bible says no one's going to know when it comes back. Do you realize the Bible says that Jesus himself does not know when the Father says it's time? He says that the angels in heaven do not know when it's time. That is going to be a crazy surprise party. Surprise! Everyone's like, ah! Some people are like, sweet! And other people are like, I don't know what to think. It could be today. Look what it says in Mark 24, but in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. And at that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. You know what? I always talk about Jesus having his own cloud-a-lack, right? You know, he rides on clouds and we see him ascend in a cloud. It says he's coming back in a cloud. I wonder if he's going to find out that day, it's that day, by Jesus being like, Abraham, pull up the cloud-a-lack. You know, if there's going to be like a valet for Jesus to like all of a sudden the cloud's waiting for him outside the mansion. My mind, just that it is what it is. It says, the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about the day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he come suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Have you ever felt like you were just sleeping at the wheel of life? Wake up! It could be today. And if we live like it could be today, then we'll probably live to see tomorrow. As the keys come back, number six, let me give you the last one. Our last day is but the first day. Our last day is but the first day. See, everyone worries about what's going to happen after here. But the focus is on where we're going to be after here. Because when this door closes, another door opens. When this life ends, an eternal life begins. And the only person that can determine where you go is you. Jesus, he said he came to this earth for us. He said that no one will snatch us out of his hand. If we choose to believe in him, he will take care of us. It says in John 10, 28, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hands. All I know is that I want to be prepared if today is the day. I want to know that God knows my name. I want to know that my name is written in the book of life. I want to know that Jesus, his blood covers my sin. People say, well, if I live a good life, no one's lived a good life except for Jesus. But I'm a good person. No one is good except for God. But I meant well. Intentions won't get you to heaven. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Because there's one action that can get you to heaven. And this action is a heart of submission. I've come to realize the only way to open the door to heaven is opening the door to your hearts. And in this moment, God wants you to get right with him. He says, look, I look at you in love, but the sin that you have on your hands keeps me from you. The word tells us that Jesus' blood, he paid the debt for all of our sin. He chose to take all of our sin and put it on his back. He chose to walk the life we couldn't walk, to be the perfection we couldn't be, so that we could call on him and he would be the salvation that we need. And so today, whether you're here or whether you're streaming at home, you have the ability to get right with God right where you are. It's not about some eloquent phrasing. It's not about some perfect prayer. It's about a heart that says, God, I've sinned and I need you in my life.
We hope you have enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.